All righty. That's Andrea Benigni, better known by his stage name of Mop Mop. He does a very interesting kind of music, combining acoustic sounds with electronic music. And that is Kamakumba from his 2013 album, Isle of Magic. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And just to give you a heads up, I'm awaiting my turn and being examined by a doctor. This is just a checkup, nothing major happening, but they were running late, and so I have to run late with them. Anyway, it is Free Your Mind Friday, and I can't believe anybody would even suggest there is nothing to talk about, not after the events of this week. So this is where we gather once a week to review the stories and the topics that we discussed all week this week. And we take a look at news issues and we discuss them. We also are very much open to you discussing whatever it is you want to discuss from your point of view, things that you think warrant further discussion and debate. All is welcome. It is Free Your Mind Friday, and that's the reason we call it that, so that we could free our minds heading into the weekend and preparing for the next week. The number to call is 888-874-4888, and let's hear what you have to say about the craziness of this week. Just again to remind you, you may hear some ambient sounds. It's just in the environment where I am in, but we are a hardy group. We don't get disturbed by these things. We are very much into each other, which is what we ought to be doing right now. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. By the way, I got so many responses to yesterday's program on Haiti. Today is, in fact, the 8th anniversary of that horrific tragedy that set in motion a number of other tragedies, as we discussed yesterday. And we are heading into the Martin Luther King Day on Monday. And the reason I have been playing speeches and doing things is to get us focused and to get us recommitted to ourselves, not to any particular thing. This is fine. But recommitted to ourselves. And in fact, this is one of the reasons I'm here, recommitting to myself to make sure that all things are okay. But I'm talking about preparing ourselves for what I began this week with, which was a plea to recommit ourselves to being purposeful in our lives. Let's live purposeful lives this year, being dedicated to making ourselves better, making ourselves more knowledgeable, making ourselves more dependable as people who have at least a commitment to service to others. This is the whole point of our programs this week. So I want to know, where are you in the scheme of things? Are you prepared? Are you preparing? Are you thinking about it? Are you going to do something different this year instead of being observers? Are we going to be active as opposed to being proactive? The two different things. I want us to be real clear. I want us to search always for clarity about a situation. You know, we know now about Donald Trump and his comments of yesterday startling the world. I don't know why they're startled, you know. And in a way, it's a sick, sick form. He knew what he was about to say, and he calculated that it would get, again, the eyes of the world focused on him, which is his whole point. He is the star of the world. And it would be so great every now and then to disappoint, to say nothing, to just observe that he has, as my dear friend said to me yesterday, he suffers from a digestive reversal. What should come out of his mouth, it shouldn't be what ought to come out from his rear end, but it does. So let's talk about that. And in the spirit, again, of putting our minds together and lifting each other up, bringing each other into new realms of knowledge and information, but not for information and knowledge sake, but for providing information that we can utilize in our lives as actors, you know, in our community. All right. Up first, Harvey from Berkeley. You're on the air. Hey, wonderful Harvey. What's going on?
Well, happy Friday to you and your vast Progressive Radio Network audience.
And, well, thank you.
Sure, my pleasure. And by the way, I really love the music that your show started with today.
Oh, and, thanks.
That was great. It was great. So the other day, I was in my favorite, one of my favorite cafes in Berkeley, and sitting at the table next to me was a mother with her newborn infant. And as I watched her interact with the baby, I came to the realization of just how helpless the 1 to 2 month old child really was. And if it wasn't for the mother's feeding, clothing, and keeping it safe from harm, the fragile baby, this little baby, wouldn't stand a chance of survival. And the same is true of really young puppies and baby birds who just hatch from their eggs. They're totally reliant on their mothers for nutrients and protection against the elements and predators. So the question is, how did life get started since young babies are unable to take care of themselves? Were there fully grown adults on the planet before there were babies? And where did they come from? Other star systems? And a lot of us have seen photos of Michelangelo's depiction of God as an old man with long flowing hair. Did God, the creator of the universe, start out as a little baby like the rest of us? And if so, who was his mother? And right now, we the human race are birthing new life forms like robots and artificial intelligence. And I remember the first computers, they were like babies compared to today's modern laptops. And the same is true for the humble beginnings for artificial intelligence. So in the future, will robots and not-so-artificial intelligence refer to us as the divine creators? So I was wondering, was there a beginning, and what came first, the chicken or the egg?
How far have you gotten along to answering your own question?
I'm not sure. It's the big mystery to me, and I just don't know. But I just thought I'd put it out there. Maybe somebody does have some answers.
What do you think about this recent sighting of an unidentified flying object? Do you think that we are not alone in the universe? Are there others?
I actually think the universe is teeming with life, and I think that's what the universe is really about. It's every planet is kind of an island of life in the ocean of space. And in fact, I even feel like our oceans are full of fish, and the ocean of air are full of birds. And I feel that the ocean of space is full of life besides the planets. I feel the whole place is teeming with life. And to think that we're alone, and that, you know, considering the variety of life that consists here on Earth alone, I think that that it's kind of folly for us to think that we're alone in the universe, and it's a very lonely thought. So I actually think that we're very much part of a bigger system, and it's just we're like the babies coming up out of the crib and heading into space. We'll be intergalactic in the not too distant future, and I feel, you know, because most religions, if you ask people where God is, they'll point up. If you ask people where heaven is, they'll point to the sky. And I feel that at some time in the future, it'll be our turn to be the sky gods, and we'll come down on some naive planet with our technology and all of our education, and we'll educate the people on various planets, and they'll think of us as the gods. So the whole thing will start all over again.
That's a dismal forecast, because as far as I can see, much to teach anybody anything. And we have much to learn from people and places that supposedly had nothing to teach us. It's a very strange irony. Thanks for getting us started today, Harvey. Really appreciate your brain-teasing ideas and thoughts.
Thank you.
Jay from New York, you're on the air, and the number to call is 888-874-4888. Jay, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon, Utrice. I hope that your visit goes well, and I hope that I don't cause you any type of discomfort when I make this statement. I agree with the statement that Donald Trump made, but let me put it into context. The reason why Haiti, in a sense...
Wait. Before you go any further, you have to give us some context to the subject.
Well, Donald Trump made a statement in regards to that Haiti was a shithole country and that he didn't want people from Haiti and other African countries to come to America. Now, the reason why I agree with his statement in regards to Haiti is because America and France created that shithole country. And they should take responsibility for the reason that the country is in the state that it is today and not blame it totally on the Haitian people who do hold some responsibility for the way that their country is, because they should have been smart enough at this point in time to divorce themselves from America and from France and build their country on their backs. Because if you notice, the thievery that has gone on in that country at the hand of America, a.k.a. the Clinton, and France, as far as them being given money because they got their behinds with so-called paying them reparations, we as a people have to be honest about the reason for the statement that Donald Trump put forward. It is basically based on white nationalism. And we don't want to accept the fact that Donald Trump perpetuates constantly white nationalism in this country, and there's a whole bunch of Americans who back him up in that. So, yes, it is wrong in a sense of what he says, but we must be able to put it into its total context on why he is able to make that statement and why Haiti is a so-called shithole country. It's because of America and France. But nobody in the media wants to be honest and deal with that on the level that it should be. We have to be honest on why Haiti is in the condition that it's in.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was expecting you to take us in an entirely different direction, but instead you fell for Donald Trump. You actually are legitimizing the ideas that come from that sick, messed up head of his. And we, instead of discussing how insane Donald Trump is, instead of discussing what has addled, we are discussing the legitimacy, quote unquote, of his ideas, as if he has. You clearly can see that this is an undereducated an uneducated man in terms of the office that he holds. He shouldn't be. We hoped that he wouldn't be this stupid, but he is this stupid. So I said it from the very beginning. We now have psychiatrists and psychologists saying it is urgent to rein this man in and get him out of office. We had just yesterday officers who were assigned to basically control the process of nuclear launches saying the country is clear present danger because of this man. And now we have a discussion about Haiti and whether his Donald Trump's assessment actually has merit. Really? Jay, come on. What happened to you?
Can I respond to what you're saying? I totally agree with you. I don't disagree with what the word that you're saying. But my issue is this, that there is a dishonesty in regards to the narrative. That's where my problem is.
My question is, if the man said something that
he thinketh, there's some truth to it. It's not like there's not a degree of truth to it. The problem is, and this is where you may agree with me, Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton feel the same way. They feel the same way.
Your position, whatever comes out of the head of Zeus, it's not relevant because he hasn't the capacity to understand all of the underlying issues involved. He is incapable of presenting a cogent argument. That's my point.
But it's our job as a people to clarify his statement and to put it out there to the people in its true context.
No, it's not
that's our job.
Our job is to be very clear that this is a racist. Our job is to be very clear that history, which he knows nothing of, tells the truth. It's been out there.
It's based on exploitation of the Haitian people. America doesn't feel like we ever exploited Haitian people. America don't feel that way.
That's the reason why Haiti is in the condition that it is
because of America.
But yes,
it's not because of
that's a semantic analysis of what I'm trying to say. If we get to talk about as to whether Donald Trump, as president of the United States, based on what we have been exposed to about him, that ever expect anything cogent from this man. It is impossible. The best thing to do is rather than get all riled up, which is, by the way, he designs these things to get people rattled. And then we get into discussing. Exactly. And what we ought to be.
But people are not putting it in its context, you treat. People are so upset that they don't look past the foolishness that this fool says. You got to look beyond what he said and look at the cause of the problem. But listen,
I understand,
I'm going to agree and disagree, but I love you and I got to go. And please,
no,
I hope
you
get the
gotta
best
go.
That I know.
You got to hear this before you go.
Yes, ma'am.
I understand what you're saying. I'm saying where you are in this discussion is where you want the discussion to be. Are we going to defend, use our time to talk? Dismiss this. Dismiss the man. And say, understand his statement in the context of his deterioration and his total lack of education. We understand that he would think that way. That's what you say. We do not have the burden to prove or disprove Donald Trump. we don't have any reason or responsibility to argue to the contrary. The man and people have been quiet. He is a deteriorating, and this case out of his mouth. All we need to do is to regard it as the.
Well, you treat. I take your advice into counsel as always, but you know the bottom line is we all know he's a sick man, but America is a sick nation because they're the ones who elected that fool. Have a good day.
To know is that he's a sick man, a racist sick man. We need to know just that. All we need to know, and that's all we need to be discussing about him, because up to yesterday, if you recall, we were talking about why Haiti is in trouble. We're doing the work. People are getting flabbergasted because this man is expressing who he is and who he has been, who he comes from, all of that. But, you know, we don't need to waste time with that. We need to spend time in reconstructing ourselves. We have no obligation to correct Donald Trump. His job. And the people who support him, if they care to, go ahead and adopt him as a project. We don't have that time. We shouldn't use our good time after somebody who basically is Jose, are you there? Okay. Patricia from New York, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, Patricia.
Good afternoon, Eutrice. Good afternoon. I hope all your visits go well today. I'm praying for you. And good afternoon, PRN family.
Kind thoughts. But what are you offering us today?
Well, okay, so yesterday there was a vote in the House of Representatives on Section 702, which is a provision that allows widespread surveillance of Americans' internet activities and phone and things like that. So in anticipation, I knew that this vote was going to take place yesterday. So in anticipation of this, I called Nancy Pelosi's office and Steny Hoyer's office, as they are the Democratic leadership. And the reason I called their office was because it was my understanding that a large group of Democrats were actually going to vote with Trump in favor of this. And my concern is that although this surveillance provision is being used as a pretext to protect Americans from terrorists, it's really more a return to the COINTELPRO days, especially now that they're being they have identified, you know, organizations as black identity extremists, and they're now going to expand the use of this for surveillance to bring into under this cloak black activists and organizations. So since it was clear that Democrats were getting ready, not all, but some were getting ready to vote in favor of this, I called Nancy Pelosi's office. So this was the response that I received. Her aide, once he realized the reason I was calling, just shut me down, and the next thing I knew, I was connected to her voicemail to leave a message. So I left my message, you know, and I said to her, look, you know, Democrats, you need to really start protecting your base. And if you're going to start acting like Republicans, then don't be surprised when we stay home. So that was my message to her. So I then called Steny Hoyer's office, and his aide was a lot more respectful. Listened to me in depth. I gave the same message, and I hung up. And then I called Cedric Richmond's office. He is on one of these committees that has jurisdiction and oversight. Where this bill is, and I gave his aide was also very polite and allowed me to share my concerns. So what do you think happened? Not only did Nancy vote in favor of this yesterday, but a whole host of Democrats. And so time and time again, so I'm going to call her office the minute I get off, the minute the program goes off the air today, to let her know that I, just regular, everyday African Americans, are following how Democrats vote, so that they will not be surprised in the future when more and more and more of us stay home, because we recognize the Democrats act like Republicans. They're one and the same. And I certainly am not going to vote against my own personal interest. So I just share that little episode because I think more and more and more they need to begin to hear from everyday Americans that we really are watching what they do, and we really are watching how they vote, and we really are watching. So that's my contribution
Excellent.
To the day.
Excellent. And you may not think, but thousands of voices.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up a little bit, Utrice.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I was saying that you may not believe it, but your one voice is the equivalent of many thousands of voices, the way these things are measured. So the more people call, the more you could take advantage of the multiplier effect. They will be very upset to know that people are calling because your one voice is tens of thousands of voices.
Well, I am going to call. I am calling.
You know, so how low-key Obama is on critical issues. Even those who have retired, they're not speaking about these things anymore because they are deferring to the so-called leadership of Nancy Pelosi, as if it had anything to do with... And her interests are in sync with what multimillionaires want, which is their own kind of power, their own leverage for their own selves. So that's a great thing. And I hope others do the same and let people understand this is not a time that they can count on complacency.
Mm-mm. And that's my message. That's my message. I won't be there. You're there for me. I'm there for you. You're absent, so will I be.
Excellent. Excellent.
Keep
Thanks,
well
Patricia,
and have a good visit.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
All righty. Jose, I understand you're back.
My professor.
Hey.
I have always ancestral blessings be upon you.
Thank you. And so should it be for you.
Now, you know, I am not one of those Africans that is concerned about the filth that comes out of that racist mouth of Donald Trump and his junta sitting in the White House. All right? And I am not surprised, never surprised by what most of these white leaders, white politicians and so forth have done to our people. And so many folks have been calling me up, and I'm just getting tired now of people calling me to ask me about the comments of this evil man. And I keep just trying to tell them this is what happens when evil is combined with power. All right? Now, my professor, I am trying to tell our people that don't sit back and get complacent because Donald Trump didn't mention the name of the individual countries and so on and so forth. But the plan that Donald Trump and his ilk have is for African people. Whether you come from the Caribbean region or from the African continent or you're African in Europe or wherever, Central America and so forth, the plan is for African people and other people of color. And I try to tell our people that we should not be at this stage now of our underdevelopment. We should be more advanced because as a people, We should have understood a long time ago the plans that the Europeans, including this European government, have for our people. And what I want to find out now, what I want to see, is where, what is going to be the reaction of the African leaders, heads of states on the African continent, those in the Caribbean, and those here in this country. Is this going to be the year, this going to be the time that we are going to say as African people, we have had enough. We have reached our insult level, and we are going to move on as a race of people in togetherness. We are going to chart our course, and we are going to move in an upward direction in the advancement of our race, regardless of what Trump and his ilk want to say. Because I am getting sick and tired of seeing our leaders acquiesce and bend down to the European powers, these imperialist nations who has robbed and raped and plundered the resources of African people, not only on the African continent, but wherever we reside as an African people. The life's blood is being sucked out of us, and then on top of it, they are, to add insult to injury, they are heaping all this scorn and disdain on us as a race of people, and we cannot stand up and say, enough is enough, and tell them where to go and get our act together and chart our course. This is what I want to find out. What are those heads of state and the black congressional caucus and all these leaders that we have, church leaders and otherwise, when are we going to get together and sit down and say we are planning our business, we are planning, we are charting our course, we are coming together and we are going to decide that this is it. Enough is enough. That's
Amen.
My question to you, my professor.
Amen is my answer to what you just said. Amen and amen. And it needs to happen ASAP. Amen and amen. Thank you for your call, Jose.
Thank you, Matt.
We have a different Jay from New York. You're on the air, different Jay. Are you there? Okay, we lost him. Let's go to Lincoln from Mount Vernon. You're on the air, Lincoln.
Trish.
Hello.
Hello, how are you? Can you hear me?
Okay.
From your end, it seems like it's going in and out.
Oh, I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah, sometimes I hear you, sometimes you don't.
But we'll just have to muddle through.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, in reference to the first caller, I always think there's a statement from the Bible. It's in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. It says, the secret things belongs to God. And I often also think about Solomon. He says, what is this thing called life? And in the New Testament, Paul says, everything seen comes from the things unseen. I believe that there is a universal mind that we call God. But when I say universal mind, it's not a mind that we could take and put it into a laboratory and do experiments with. It's a mind which is an energy. And this energy has the power to think and to create. And in my own life, I've had experiences where I was sitting in a room and literally an apparition appeared. It was a woman, fully clad, and literally sat and spoke with me, and I was not daydreaming. I was not hallucinating. I was not on any kind of an intoxicant, you know. And the person spoke with me about something, and the next day, the very thing this apparition spoke to me about occurred. So, you know, I think that this power can create in an instant, and I think there's much about this power that we will never in this physical life totally comprehend. Hello?
Yes, I'm listening intently.
And I believe that technology is actually taking us away from this power. So contrary to what that the first caller said, technology will never get to the place where human beings are, where it will actually ask questions of us. Because there is no technology that can be compared to with the human body. And no matter what they say about what you call it, intelligent, artificial intelligence, they say that, you know, the human brain, if you try to build, as small as computers are getting, if you try to build a computer to match the functions of the human brain, they say that it would be at least a block long, and it would require a river to cool it down. Based upon many experiences I have had, I know for a fact that there is no artificial intelligence that can actually match us, because what we call genius is nowhere what we truly are, our full potential. And somehow human beings lost their way. And I think that's part of the meaning of the Garden of Eden story. What the Garden of Eden story is actually saying is that man was once great, really, really way beyond what we think. And humankind, somehow got derailed from this place we were. And that's why it's suggesting that even we were naked once, because we did not need to be in clothing. And when it says that, for example, the animals once were herbivorous, and then after whatever occurred, then we became flesh eaters. And then after that, thorns occurred. There was a time, the Garden of Eden story was suggesting that there was a time when everything was in harmony. And when mankind got derailed, things fell out of harmony, which is suggesting that this universal mind had endured humankind, that humankind can actually alter the course of nature. And you see, we continue to do that even with the physical things. Now, when it comes to things like cell phones, etc., what I see all these things as in computers, we once could communicate telepathically. And telephones and all these things is mankind reaching back for what mankind once was. Because the thing about evolution is bogus. You know, we were once way beyond what mankind thinks, you know. And as much as we have been to the moon, etc., like for example, even when Jesus walked and the water, and his right name is really Yeshua. He was a Hebrew, you know, a black man. It was not that picture. That is to demonstrate to human beings what we potentially can be. But in the midst of even these understandings that I have, I still have to go back to that statement that says, the secret things belongs to God, and we will never discover. But before I go, I don't know if you heard this, you know.
But hurry, because we're running close to time.
Let me just say this quickly. The Clintons, there was a fire at the Clintons' house. And yes, there was one report I read where some computer stuff was burnt up. And if you notice, the house they have in Chappaqua, and not much was said about it. And the last thing I wanted to say, the new leader who replaced Mugabe, the first thing he did was to start returning the land to the white farmers, which shows that it was USA and England who were behind the removal of Mugabe. It wasn't because his time had come to an end. And if his time had come to an end, maybe we should have said the same thing about Fidel Castro or whoever. And wish there was more time that we could talk much more.
I wish that we had gained by time. And thank you for your profound thoughts today. Let's see who reacts and what they say to what you just said. Thanks for calling in. We have Willie from Brooklyn. You're on the air.
Yes, you please?
Yes.
Hello, you please?
I'm on here, and I'm listening.
Okay. Good afternoon to you and my beloved family.
Thank you so much.
You all a very happy and prosperous New Year's, and I hope you get well. Okay?
Thank you.
I just called to say, darling, I love the hell out of you. No, let me take that back. Let me take that back. I respect you. Because, you see, when black people say they love you, it really annoys me. I get very upset. Because black people, when we say we love you, you have to be dead. You know, because when you are alive, just like Malcolm, Martin, all of them, Minister Farrakhan, all of them, Bob Marley himself, we said we love it, but we shot him up like two times in Jamaica. He had to leave because we decided we have to kill you. Then we reverence you. So when we say we love you, don't, it really bothers me. You see, because when I respect you and honor you because you guide and you teach us, you see what I'm saying? Now, we making all this noise and philosophers aside, everything. I'm not interested in that. You ask a very simple question. What are we doing? And that's a very, very valid question. What are we doing? I have no interest in that clown, that lunatic you have in the White House. I'm going to say this. I wouldn't even mention his name. It's not worth mentioning. I wish for him what Andrew Adler wished for. They were planning for Obama. Andrew Adler, are you familiar with him?
Yes. Adler?
Okay. I want for him the same thing they were planning for the most honorable minister, Louis Farrakhan. That's all I got to say about him. Okay. Now, what are we doing? This is the best of time ever because it's going to force us to do for self. And this is what the Nation Islam has been saying from day one. We have to do for self, protect one another and respect one another. It's as simple as that. We are more, just Bob Marley, I said it, we are more than numbers. We're more than sand on the seashore. We don't need nobody. Just our unity and our working together, it's enough. Now, I'm not worried about what they're doing. I have no interest in what they're doing, because I've spent my entire life studying and getting all involved in what they're doing. They're going to do what they want to do anyway. So what we have to do is what we must do, what we are doing. Right now, over here in your engineer said Woody from Brooklyn. It's no longer Brooklyn. It's Palestine. Because they're doing the same thing that they're doing in Palestine in Brooklyn. We have nowhere to go. Where are we going to go? And, you know, if many of us, there are some of us, because most of us hate Minister Farrakhan because of what they wrote about him and because of how they demonized him. And you know who has done that? The worst enemies of black people, in my judgment. Because they're just, when was it? I think it was Wednesday or Thursday. You had Alton Maddox on. As the assault on him was started by whom? Just I've learned to listen very, very well. You listen to the name. Robert Morgenthau was the Brooklyn DA, putting out a young man in prison. Who? It's not the KKK. Chuck Schumer, it's not the KKK. Let's call them up for what they are, because these are the people who are causing our suffering and our pain. You yourself came under assault by these. Remember they were talking about killing you? I was down by BI. Every day I left work, I was there to die with you. But I have one little difference of opinion. I have no problem dying with you, because you have to kill me first before you kill my sister, because the only thing she did wrong was speaking truth without compromise, and you hated her because she exercised that power. So I was there every night after work, you trees.
Yes,
you were. With you. To die with you. But guess what? There's one little problem. As long as you're coming with us, I don't mind you dying, but you're coming with us, because we have to put a stop to this. When people like you, look at Alton. How many of us really think about the suffering that brother is going through? The KKK has nothing to do with that. You know what I'm saying? If you look at every one of our leaders and our educators and our songsters and our poets, the KKK had nothing to do with it. The skinhead had nothing to do with it. Guess who? The same one that Dr. Khalid Muhammad called Hook Nose Johnny come lately. I'm not going to say anything else. But that's our problem, not the KKK, in my judgment. I just wanted to say that, because these people, I'm watching you. I'm watching you taking out our leaders and the great minds among us. Look at Tony Martin, one of the finest, he's not the only one, one of the finest educator we have among us. Is that correct? In my judgment, I don't know how you feel about him.
Oh, yes. I knew him quite well as a fellow Trini.
That brother, he was something else. Dr. Ben, Nelson Mandela, everywhere you look, it is not the KKK. As a matter of fact, in my judgment, I think that's the best friends we have in America is the KKK. Because they leave, if it was up to them, they would leave us alone and we would find our way out of the mess we're in. But these people, the Board of Education, our children, the teachers' union, just look at who takes control of it. And your children are not within the public school system. So wake up and see. And you go talk to now, brother. Now the brothers and sisters are finally seeing, because these people are nothing more than robbers, thieves, and murderers. And my sister, I'm not trying to disrespect my parent family or you see yourself, but the truth has to be told. As a matter of fact, let me say this: you pretty soon, people will be sick. You will be put up as the anti-Semitic number one. Garen Null is number two, and we all know who, number two. You number two, Garen Null number three, and PRN number four. We all know who the anti-Semite is, number one. But I found this to be common to all of them. When you speak truth, instead of condemning somebody else with truth, you start calling all kind of names and demonizing them. Why do you not come out and say, wait a minute, you're a liar, this is not true, and condemn them with truth? But instead, you resort to calling names and demonizing people. Your day is of deceiving people is over. What's going on in Hollywood? It's a cesspool. It has always been accessible. Who runs it? And how are we, excuse my expression, my sister and the PRN listeners, who are the niggas of the earth? Who put that stuff in movies and send it all over the world? But nobody can talk about you? You can't take what you dish out? Oh, come on. It's a new day, and it's a new day. And your day of deceiving black people is over. Now, one last thing, and I'm off. You know, we have to stop begging for what we need, because we buy what we want. We pay for what we want. Now, PRN, we have unbridled access to the station. Gary is a wonderful human being. Now, it's totally unfair for him to be financing this thing. We got plenty of money. If we make a commitment, okay, I'll send $5. Nobody's telling you what to send, but send some money to finance the people within PRN so we could shut these people down, because they have contaminated the entire America with their nonsense and their foolishness. And PRN, we have access to this, and we could bring forth the truth to the entire America, because the people within PRN, they're doing that. Now, we on the outside, all you have to do is every person you come in contact with, you introduce them. That's all. You guys are already doing that superb job, and it's commendable. I can't tell you how happy I am, just because I don't have a TV. PRN is my TV, and it don't cost me nothing. Why are you spending money on cable when you could take that money to insult you? Because as far as I'm concerned, when you're watching this thing, they are insulting my intelligence and my decency.
Well, your point is well taken.
I'm sorry.
I said your point is well taken. And this is one of the things that I'm hoping that people will do this year, which is to financially support the station, and on a regular basis. Like you said, if you're sending $10 a month, it is a worthy investment.
Exactly.
And it is something to be done. And we will continue reminding people that, you know, the revolution is not free.
Exactly.
It's not a free revolution.
There has to be some kind
of investment. And PRN is doing its job, and we are looking, of course, for people to put their money where their minds are.
Exactly.
So thanks so much for driving that point home. Thank you, Willie, for calling in. We're almost out of time.
Okay, baby. All right.
But thank you so much for your dissertation today.
No, I'm supposed to thank you. We are supposed to thank you. Bye-bye, Sister Eustace. Love you. Peace.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Well, David from Brooklyn, I don't know how you managed to do this, but you are the core of the moment, and you're also the last of the core.
I got in a little late today. I went to do shopping, and I thought about something that happened this week, and is when you had the great Alton Maddox on the show. I love the work that Alton has done. And what came to mind, and what's really on my mind, how is it in the black community where Alton has done so much in terms of justice and defense of people, that these these black politicians who are in these parties, especially the Democratic Party, and the people are not up in arms about what Alton explained as being debarred. How is it that nobody puts any kind of resistance to this so-called Democratic Party keeping Alton Maddox debarred? Why isn't there a massive movement, especially in the area of people of color and especially black people in New York, going up to the legislature and demanding that Alton Maddox be returned to the practice of law. He has not been disbarred. Why is it that they are trying to shut him up and do something about it and stop voting for this Democratic Party and these old Negroes that are in high places? We got to get rid of these people and get a real fighter for human rights like Alton back on the scene and in the courtroom to fight for justice for all people.
We will be picking up the discussion with Alton again this week and moving things along. People probably need educating about it, and so we'll hear from him as well. Thanks so much, everyone, for contributing today and doing so with a brave heart and a sincere purpose. Thank you so much. We'll see each other tomorrow, not Monday, and good luck and bye-bye.